are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Thursday episode here on the show. It's going to be the last show of the week. I'm going to take a bye on Friday as well, since it's a 49ers bye week. And I'm going to dip back into the mailbag today. Nick and I, our usual long-winded selves, only got to about two mailbag questions. So I've got some stuff I want to talk about here that the listeners pointed out. And another listener on Twitter asked if I would go point by point with Kyle Shanahan's last press conference heading into the bye week, because there was some frustration behind his voice. And I think he made some pretty interesting comments there. I'm not going to talk about the whole entire press conference, but there's a few quotes that we'll get to, and I've got some audio from that. So we'll hear from Coach Shanahan here about the 49ers as they go into the Week 11 bye and have six games to play. And while the playoffs aren't at stake here, there's still some very important stuff. And for a team that hopes to be in the playoff hunt next year, there's some things they got to get right, got to get figured out down the stretch here, and learn a lot about themselves. I think self-scouting might be the most important thing that happens the rest of the way. And it sounds like Kyle Shanahan agrees with that. So we'll hear from him in just a moment. I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. So tell a friend about that. LockedOn49ers.com. Not only can you find the streams of the show there, you can also find other content and articles from myself, Chris Wilson, and John Chick. There are new articles and stuff going up all the time. There's going to be a lot more draft stuff coming up as well as we head toward the offseason. Big time 49ers draft hub at Locked On 49ers, both written and especially on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Follow me there. I love to keep the conversation going off the air, and that's also the best place to get those mailbag questions in. You can also find me via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, or on Facebook, Instagram, and all those usual places. Let's get to the coach, and this first comment he made was, I think, pretty important, a little message, and I'm sure he had a big message for the team before he let them break for the bye week, but I think he gives us a little insight into what that conversation might have been about players taking ownership and players earning their future spot on this roster, whether it be backup, starter, special teamer, or not on the roster at all.
I want them to really, really reflect on the season so far and what they want coming back in these six games. You know, we got six games coming left, coming back, a lot of football to play, and a lot of important football to play. I want them to sit there and really think of what their goals are for the rest of the half. Do they want to solidify themselves as a starter, a backup? Do they want to be a part of it here? Do they want to be one of the answers or a solution to what we're going through? And really, when they think about all that and they understand it all and what they want, which I'm sure they all have high aspirations, I want their actions to come back and show that.
I think that's an important message for the team, and there's a lot of young players on this roster. Remember, still just halfway through year two of a complete gut job, not many players left around from the old regime here with the 49ers. So a lot of young players, a lot of jostling, I think, for position on the depth chart. And there's going to be an influx of free agents and draft picks. And so players are going to be fighting for their roster spots and fighting for maybe that starting position that, you know, at the end of 2017, a lot of different 49ers players, I think, earned that opportunity to be the starter week one this year. And it started at the end of last year. And so I think there's opportunity. And some of those guys faltered a little bit once they did get that starting spot. And so we'll see what happens down the stretch here. If some of those guys can regain that and prove that was the real them at the end of last year and that they deserve that spot, or some other guys step up and earn that for next year. But there's a lot of important self-scouting here to do for the 49ers, both with the coaching staff and all the players all the way down the roster and on the practice squad. I mean, we've seen what guys can do that started off in the practice squad, undrafted free agents that are a big part of the 49ers team right now, and guys like Matt Breida, who's proven he can be a number one back in the NFL. If he can stay healthy, I think the ideal spot for him is to be the number two guy, but he's been awesome, and he's earned everything from work ethic and his play on the field. And the same could be said for Nick Mullins, finally getting his shot, and maybe he's proving that he's the long-term number two quarterback. So a lot of players could probably learn from that, which a draft pick and where you're drafted in the end doesn't matter. As soon as you're drafted, that's out the window. You might earn a couple extra opportunities, but once you get your opportunity and you weren't drafted high, you can still make a name for yourself in this league. So all those things are important, and maybe some guys proving that they're not a part of it, I think, is very important too. And I think about players like Dante Pettis, where Kyle Shanahan was in his ear on the sideline on Monday Night Football, and he's basically telling him, I'm trying to get you the ball, and he's trying to help him out. And he has to, in turn, help the team out and help the coach out and help out his quarterback to earn more of those and prove that he's going to be that guy. So he's definitely going to be one to watch down the stretch. And it's going to be fun football, I think. So there's definitely no tuning out, because there's still a lot, like Kyle Shanahan just said, there's a lot of important football left for the 49ers. Whether or not those wins and losses are super impactful on them making the postseason, right, that's just not going to happen. But a team learning how to win could be very important. And if the 49ers are going to be good down the road, a lot of those players that are on the roster right now have to be a part of that. Shanahan expands on that idea a little bit more, but then also throws in some notes about the coaching. And there's a couple of comments here that I think you can take some things away from, that not only is self-scouting happening with the roster and with the players, I think they're still trying to make sure they've got the coaching staff figured out. And I thought a couple weeks ago, there's no chance there would be any changes. But listening to this press conference, I kind of backed off of that.
My goal is to get our guys to play the best they possibly can. Whoever's in our building, to get them to play the best they can. I believe that we can get more out of our guys. I believe that's up to myself. I believe it's up to coaches, and I believe it's up to the players. I think there's guys that are doing some good things, but even the guys who are doing the best, I still think there's even more. I think George Kittle's had a hell of a year. I think he can improve a lot more. I think Breed has done some good things. He can get better. I think Buck can get better. Sherm can get better. From all the top guys I'm mentioning to the bottom guys, we all can get better, and coaches included.
So I like a few things about what Kyle Shanahan threw in there at the end, especially. So he's talking about the big name guys, the guys who are already playing at a very high level, talking about how they can even get better. And I think that's a great message for everybody else. Like, look, Buckner and Sherman can still work and still play better. So you can bet your ass that everybody else can work harder and play better. And we'll see if that resonates with the team. But then the last thing there is he talks about, and the coaches too. And so, obviously, look, Kyle Shanahan's not going anywhere for not next year, and then probably not the year after, even if things are terrible. Same with John Lynch. They got 6-year guaranteed contracts. There's no buyouts. There's no offsets if they leave and go get hired somewhere else. They're getting paid for 6 years no matter what. And so I think that's going to buy them some extra time. And I think they need some extra time. There's no reason to get super worked up over that. And we've seen what Kyle Shanahan can do on offense now that he's got an undrafted quarterback that's playing okay. It looks a lot different out there. And he's doing this with a lot of undrafted running back, undrafted quarterback. Both those guys weren't penciled in to really play very much and play that big of a role. Breida to some extent, but certainly not Nick Mullins, who's a practice squad guy and a third string quarterback that they thought they would never see this year playing. So he's still doing some work with the offense, and George Kittle's coming along as a Pro Bowl tight end. So that side of the ball, I think you can see where that's going, and maybe add some more weapons. They definitely need some more bullets and some more playmakers, but you can see where that's going. But the defensive side of the ball, I think, is where, and a lot of fans are questioning it, and I think Kyle Shanahan might just at least be thinking about it. And all bets are off with the rest of the coaching staff. Kyle Shanahan's going to be around for a while. John Lynch is going to be around for a while. Those are the contracts that aren't going anywhere. They're going to have a chance, every opportunity to build this thing. But it's not the same. The same cannot be said for the rest of the coaching staff, whether it be position coaches or down to the equipment staff, strength coaches, coordinators. Like that stuff could absolutely change. And I don't believe it will. I don't think there's a better than 50% chance, but I can't say for sure that it won't happen this offseason. And just hearing Kyle Shanahan talk about some of this stuff makes me think that he's at least thinking about it, or at least considering it. And maybe not even considering the change, but he's at least evaluating. And I think that's important. And I hope he is evaluating, and he should be. All right, I got one more clip here that I want to get to, but I got to take a break first, and then we'll get into the mailbag as well. But right now, I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. What do you do on a 49ers bye week? Well, maybe you go bet on some games. Lay down some cash and win big today with MyBookie. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. And a special offer for Locked On 49ers listeners. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each week. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim that bonus. MyBookie will match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. Yes, you heard that correctly. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. MyBookie will match your first deposit when creating your account 100% up to $1,000. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Little second guessing from Kyle Shanahan, a little speck of doubt in that mind is somewhat interesting. And he was asked in this press conference why former first round picks Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead weren't on the field during that final drive when the New York Giants went down and beat the 49ers.
I would have liked to see them in there more on the last drive. They didn't get in there enough. We did do a number of five-man rushes in the game. Why don't you do more? When you do more, just you're more susceptible in coverage. When you do four-man rushes, then you got seven guys in coverage. So it just changes what you do, whether you're playing man or zone. You can call it a zone dog when you bring five, but you're still manning people in your zone. So it's no, you can drop a DN and call it zone, but if that tight end runs a corner, he still has a man-to-man. So that's the reason for that.
So the first part of that was the question about why Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead weren't on the field, and the second part of that question was why did they not blitz as much to try to get more pressure on Eli Manning? They only got to him one time on the night. And he mentioned a lot of the options that you have to blitz and zone blitz. And then we saw them do that. And that didn't work either when they're dropping their defensive end into coverage. And that was the play where they tried to blitz the Mike linebacker in Fred Warner and then play zone behind him. And that was the Saquon Barkley play that set up the touchdown to Shepard. So that part of it is like X's and O's stuff and play calling. But then you have the personnel stuff on top of it. And it just sounds like he's not 100% happy with what's going on the defensive side of the ball either, like a lot of 49ers fans right now. And that doesn't mean a firing of Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator is imminent or anything like that, or even if it's that thought has entered his mind. But he's evaluating, and self-scouting is the number one important thing to go on through the rest of this season for the 49ers. And it definitely, as Kyle Shanahan said, goes beyond just the roster and the players, but also to the coaching. Because in the end, he's competitive. John Lynch is competitive. Those guys want to win. And so if making a change on the defensive coaching staff is going to get him there, I don't think they'll hesitate to do it. And maybe some of that might be who's actually available to bring in as a coach. That might be part of it as well, which is to be determined in the offseason with current jobs around the league. And that brings us to mailbag time. Let's start with a long email from Caleb. I don't know if I'm going to read this whole thing, but we'll get the gist of it. Caleb says, been listening to you pretty much every day since the offseason. Thank you very much, Caleb. I appreciate that. Honestly, the only show I've found that is genuine, informed analysis every week. I think your analysis of Spoon is a bit harsh and that a lot of the blame can be placed on subpar safety play, which is the more difficult position to learn. If I understood Eric Crocker correctly, his tantrum, in my opinion, earns him a benching more than his play. Anyway, my question is, how much of these struggles do you think are coming from the fact that our head coach, GM, and defensive coordinator are all in their sophomore season? I 100% believe in all the raw potential of John and Kyle, less so with Saleh. That being said, I think some of these errors are going to be smoothed out as they learn the role. Also, it seems that Sherman has a few blown coverages, but the rest of the secondary seems to have trouble grasping this defense. My only conclusion is Saleh is not conveying the idea, or they're not studying the playbook well enough. As far as Sherman goes, definitely not worried about him. And I do wonder what it would be like if the guy opposite of Sherman was playing lights out, and so teams would throw at Sherman more. Maybe they could catch him on some things, because he's definitely been caught a couple times this season. But they're having so much success throwing away from Sherman that they don't have to worry about it. So that would be interesting to see if he did get targeted more. I'm sure they would complete more passes, but he would also have an opportunity to make some plays, and I bet he'd have some picks. And so teams just don't want to mess with that, and I really don't blame him. As far as the other stuff goes, yeah, that's all fair. And I don't throw everything on Spoon, and I wasn't really trying to crush Akella Witherspoon. Corners are going to give up a couple plays, so that's not a big deal. The attitude, I think you're right. That's a bigger problem, just playing the blame game. If his first thought is pointing the finger, that's not a good thing, whether he's right or not. And the thing about this defense, and the thing that was always said about it originally was, the free safety. That's what makes it go. That's the most important part of the defense. And so maybe that's the reason why things are really hurting the 49ers right now in the secondary. Maybe that'll help. Maybe, you know, free agent Earl Thomas, who's out there. He is the guy. He's the quintessential free single high free safety in this cover three system. And so maybe they make a run at him and try to bring him in. Maybe they're going to still look at some other options if they can't bring in Earl Thomas. But it's just an epidemic on the defensive side of the ball that all of the players who's almost 100% of the guys that their career wasn't already set, their career path wasn't already set. Like DeForest Buckner's a young player, but he's already playing at a super high level before. So why is the entire unit not developing? And I think that's a huge question. I think that's the number one thing that you worry about with Robert Saleh. Like, is it Halfley, is the defensive backs coach that's not getting through to the guys? Some problems with the scheme. Are the players bad? Are they doing a bad job of teaching it? Are they not working hard enough? These guys work hard. There's some high character players on this team. I don't think that's it at all. I've harped on the pass rush. That's the number one thing that's going to help a defensive back is to get pressure on the opposing quarterback. Or is it all of the above? Because you can't have so much communication error going on. And look, they've been injured. Guys have been bounced around. So all that stuff plays into it as well. But the lack of development and all of the miscommunication, it's a worthy question. And Caleb, I'm with you on pretty much every point you made there. Staying on this theme, let's go to Facebook. This is from Dewey. He said, you guys were talking about the possibility that the defensive coordinator may not be back next season. I've been wondering myself. I personally miss Fangio. Don't we all? I think everybody misses Vic Fangio because the 49ers defense was so awesome. Missed a lot of players that were on Vic Fangio's defense also. He says there was more accountability and discipline. You spoke of what if Bowles came over if fired. What do you think of Terrell Austin? He ran a good D in Detroit. Even if there was no change, I'd love to bring in a D-line coach, Chris Wilson of the Eagles. He's produced three well-known defensive linemen at the college level in Sheldon Richardson, Leonard Williams, and Fletcher Cox. And I'd like to bring in secondary coach Jerry Gray of the Vikings. His secondaries have ranked top five the last 5 years. Lord knows our secondaries haven't been much since the days of Seifert and Rhodes. Wow, going back to the Ray Rhodes era and the George Seifert defenses. Yeah, the 49ers, they were pretty good under Harbaugh in the defensive secondary. But Terrell Austin is an interesting name because he's got that connection, that Detroit connection with Martin Mayhew in the front office, the former GM in Detroit. But I think the coaching stuff all comes down to Shanahan. Who does he like? Whose defenses did he have a tough time going against? He likes this scheme. It's the reason they chose Robert Saleh, because they thought he was a smart guy and they really believed in this scheme. So the names I threw out there last night with Wink, I don't think Dan Quinn's actually going to get fired with the Falcons. I mean, they were in a Super Bowl a couple years ago, they're having a down year, but I would be super surprised if Dan Quinn got fired. And if he did get fired, he'd probably get an opportunity to be a head coach rather than coming in as a defensive coordinator. One of the names that really interests me, you want to talk about defensive backs and you want to talk about coaching the defensive side of the ball, I think Chris Richard, the former defensive backs coach and defensive coordinator in Seattle, that would be the name that would interest me quite a bit. Slam dunk if he's available as a defensive backs coach. But even as a defensive coordinator, same scheme, he's got a track record of success, and I think they something's missing with the coaching on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary. I think on the defensive line, the front seven's been better, and I think they also just obviously have that huge need as with some speed and pass rushers that'll bring a lot of stuff together as well on the defense side of the ball. But and the names you mentioned, Jerry Gray, yeah, the Vikings defensive backs have been awesome. Jack Del Rio's a name that's been thrown out there. Saw Rex Ryan. I doubt that's something that the 49ers would consider, but if they can upgrade there, I think they got to do it. It's a results league. It's supposed to be the ultimate meritocracy in the NFL, and something is definitely getting lost in translation to the players on the field on game day. Okay, this is a good spot. Let's take a quick break here and then back to finish up this mailbag. Let's go to Twitter. This is Alan. He said, quick question. I know the season is lost, but would it be a bad idea to sign someone like Kenny Britt or Terrell Pryor to see what the offense would look like having a big-bodied receiver so if it comes down to a play like last night, teams can't gang up on Kittle? It's a good question. First of all, no. Those two players specifically, it's just, nah. No, taking snaps away from guys who need to develop, it's just, Yes, they do need a bigger bodied receiver, I think. And I thought they would do that in the last draft, and they didn't. And Shanahan definitely has his type of receiver, and he likes speed, and he likes quickness. He likes guys that can get in out of their breaks and create separation. But I think we're seeing that it's pretty obvious there is that one missing piece. The 49ers need a little bit more size. They need a guy who can take the pounding of getting a ton of targets and can really help out in the red zone. And you don't want to just have a jump ball specialist either. So, you know, I agree with Shanahan there. He has to be able to help you out not only in the red zone, but in between the 20s. So that's important. But there's a ton of big body receivers that can do that. So the 49ers should definitely be looking at that. And it's going to have to come this offseason, probably going to have to come as a wide receiver that they draft and develop. And sometimes that takes a while. So, and we're seeing that with Dante Pettis. Rookie wide receivers don't have a ton of success in the NFL. And we're seeing year two and George Kittle taking that huge step. And so hopefully that's Dante Pettis next year. Then you add a little bigger bodied receiver to go along with him, and maybe you have a long-term tandem there. We'll see. But they absolutely have to go get a big bodied guy. But just a retread free agent off the street right now, Kenny Britt, Terrell Pryor, that's not going to really do much for the 49ers long-term, and will stunt the growth of the players that they're taking snaps from. On that note, Mark from Twitter wants to know if people are too hard on Pettis. Is it warranted? How has Shanahan wide receivers typically fared in their rookie year? Seems it typically would take a year to get it down. That was the case for Kittle, wasn't it? And yeah, so yeah, right to my point there, it absolutely was the case with Kittle. But you saw flashes from Kittle. You knew he was going to be good. So you want to see the talent. You want to see him be able to. And we saw it earlier on in the season, actually, with Garoppolo, and Pettis made some plays and he had that touchdown catch early in the season. Then he got hurt, so injuries have derailed it. So that's been part of it. He hasn't been able to practice a lot. He only came back to practice and had a week's worth before getting in the game last week. So it takes a while. And Shanahan's offense is notoriously difficult to learn. And with wide receivers around the league, it's always a difficult thing to come in the NFL and produce right away as a wide receiver. And Kyle Shanahan really specifically likes his routes and things done a certain way. So there's a lot on rookie wide receivers. So that's probably why they don't have a big part of the offense right now. And that Shanahan really trusts guys like Kendrick Bourne, who are in their second year, who've had a chance to, he can trust where they're going to be and they're going to do the right thing. Even if long-term the other guys have more talent, you have to be able to trust them before you can put them on the field. And I think that's part of it. And we're seeing some of those growing pains with Pettis right now and getting a talking to on the sideline for maybe doing something a little bit wrong and maybe not even majorly wrong, just a minor detail. And those things are so important to the way Kyle Shanahan schemes things up. So, yeah, definitely being too harsh on Dante Pettis. I mean, there's, for any wide receiver ever, you can't draw any long-term conclusions about 8 or 9 games or 4 games. How many games has he even been around for? Because he's been hurt. So long-term, there is no conclusions that you should be drawing about Dante Pettis. It's going to take a while, but let's see him get in there and see him play a little bit more and hope do whatever he needs to do behind the scenes to earn that playing time and get trusted by Shanahan and his quarterback. I think that's the key for Pettis right now. All right, got one more here in the Twitter mailbag to get to, but there's something I just remembered, and before I forget, I want to get it out here now before we get to that last question, and that is mentioned on the Winky Wednesday episode yesterday that Locked On 49ers is coming up on 1 million downloads for the year, and charging hard, hopefully get there. Look like it's on pace to get there, and so hopefully I do. And if we do get to 1 million downloads, I want to do a giveaway and sort of celebrate that and thank everybody. So we'll probably do a Twitter giveaway, and I'll put that at the proper time when we do cross that threshold. I'll put it up on Twitter and ask for retweets, and whoever retweets that specific tweet will be entered to win a jersey that we'll figure out at some point. I've already asked people on Twitter which jersey they would want, so I'll ask that to the listeners. If you're not on Twitter, first of all, get on Twitter, follow me at BD Peacock, or message me wherever on whatever social media platform, and let me know what player do you think we should give away if we gave away a 49ers jersey? Which player? And whoever gets the most votes, that'll be the jersey I give away if we get to the 1 million download mark, and we'll have a party and celebrate that, and that'll be a whole lot of fun. And more details on that when the time comes, and I'll let you guys know when that tweet is shot out there for you to retweet and enter yourself into that jersey giveaway. So again, thank you to everybody who has been listening to Locked On 49ers. It's been awesome to watch the growth and been fun to bring this podcast to you every day. All right, so let's get to this last mailbag question. This is from James, who asks, do you think Lynchahan will be more aggressive in free agency in 2019? If so, what would that look like? Going into the offseason, there might be less optimistic credit the organization will receive. I think you are 100% right there about how perception will be coming into this offseason versus last offseason. And I fully believe that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will be much more aggressive. These guys, I mentioned it earlier, these guys are competitive. They do not want to lose. They do not want to lose anymore. And I know they believe that their team is better than they're performing. And I know they believe that it will perform better once Jimmy Garoppolo's back and Jerick McKinnon is back and a lot of the players have been dinged up. But I think they also know that they have some holes to fill. And I think they will absolutely be aggressive filling those holes. And that starts with free agency. I mentioned Earl Thomas. I think they'll absolutely go after Earl Thomas. I mean, he's the definition of single high safety in this scheme, and I think they will for sure go after him. I think they're going to go after the best pass rusher they can find, and I think they'll have to draft a pass rusher as well, and maybe the guy in the draft is the guy who ends up being the best, but they're going to have to try to find someone so they can add some sacks and add some pressure right out of the gate next year. They need to win from week one, and I think that's important. Not just look good, not just look like, okay, we're building and we're getting a little bit better. The 49ers need to start winning week one next year and be very competitive throughout 2019, or else some very serious questions are going to start to creep in. And then after 3 years, you can start to look at your watch and say, okay, this can't keep happening. They can't keep losing, and they don't want to lose. So they're going to attack free agency, I got to believe, hard, which is another reason why I think they're going to look at the coaching staff hard. Because while they have some time and they have some job security, that can change very quickly in the NFL. If the 49ers this time next year are 2-8, everybody's going to be calling for everybody's head, like flat out. Who cares how much money you have to eat? Fans will not be having it if it happens again like this. So they have to be aggressive, and they need to target the right players, and they need to target players that will make a difference for the football team. Not just guys are, hey, this is a nice player, nice scheme fit, and whatever. They need to target who they can to get the maximum impact in the short term, and then draft some really good pieces for the long term and put all those things together. And I think it starts with free safety. It starts with pass rushers. Cornerback is an interesting one. And I talked about this in my 5-point plan. If you missed that episode, go back and listen to my 5-point plan episode about how to fix the 49ers. And I think maybe cornerback is important for free agency, just to know that you have a veteran corner that you can count on to be smart and play under control and trust and do the proper things out there, and then develop the talent behind him and see if Tarvarius Moore is maybe that guy, or Akella Witherspoon's that guy, or maybe draft somebody else. But you can't expect someone who's a rookie to come in, especially if you, I mean, are you going to draft a corner in the first round? Well, where's the pass rusher going to come from? Maybe where's that big body wide receiver going to come from? So I think cornerback is a really important one in free agency, actually, that they need to make sure that they have a starting cornerback ready to go in week one next year. And if that guy is not Akella Witherspoon, and I think we'll learn a lot more about that the rest of the way, then I think free agency is the place to fix that problem too. All right. Thanks everybody for getting involved with this mailbag. Thanks everybody for listening. Going to take Friday off. I'm going to take a bye week Friday for myself here. I was going to say go for a walk and take my son out somewhere, but we've been cooped up inside because this crazy bad air and the smoke an unhealthy air that we have going on in the Bay Area. It's coming down from those fires in Butte County. It's like, geez, man, such a crazy situation. If there's that much smoke here, I can't imagine what it's like up there. So definitely thoughts are with all those folks, and I hope none of my listeners were affected by the fires that are going on in either Northern or Southern California. And I have tweeted out a few links from various places where people can help out if they do want to help out with those fires and some of those situations. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. I'll be back with you guys on Monday. Take a deep dive, start looking at some statistics. I'm going to do some digging and find some interesting numbers and some film. I want to look back at the early part of the season where the 49ers were playing under Garoppolo and then compare to what we've seen the last couple of weeks. I think that might be somewhat enlightening. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.